Hi, I'm Joanna.
And I'm Shatara.
And welcome to the Auntie Hour.
Hey. You hear that?
You hear the crowd noise.
All the people.
This is our time.
Yes, I always like to hear Joanna say it. This is like her famous line.
This is our time.
All right, so mind your business, but come on in. We're going to have to hashtag that one there. Mind your business, but come on in. Absolutely. Right. So, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy that we're all here.
Yes.
How have you been?
Great. I feel fantastic. I have survived. We have survived a day or two of taping the show.
We are still here.
We still love each other.
Right. So, so far, so good.
So far, so good.
So I want to say your energy is good. And I don't know if it's because of your, like, beautiful colors. I'm loving the earrings. I'm loving it all. Is this, like, waking you up? A little bit.
By the way, this is something I would never do.
Okay.
So I'm embracing new things. Trying new things.
This is the new
earrings? This is the earrings. As a matter of fact, when my friend is here, she could testify to that. I would never wear these earrings.
No? Really?
Yes.
See, now, I'm big on accessories. I'm one of those people who, just because it matches, I'm putting everything on. Yeah, I'm one of those, and I have to check myself, like, you know what, Shatara? Take this off. Take that. Just because it matches doesn't mean it has to go. So I'm accessory crazy, as you can see, but I have to tone it down every now and then.
I'm more of a simple type of pieces, one piece earring, studs, and things like that. Things that are elegant, not necessarily really big. So this is new for me. It's different, and you guys like that.
It looks good.
I like it, too. I thought when I saw them, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think I like those.
I like those.
So, yeah.
Good for you. And see, that's good. And with, like, short hair, and I'm sure other, women with short hair can attest to this, you feel the need to play up all your femininity. Right? So therefore, if it's earrings, I'm like, okay, I gotta have some earrings. If it's like lips, it's gotta be lips. Like, you have to do a little bit of everything, all within reason. You gotta pull it out. So like I said, I can take it a little crazy. I got about 9 bracelets under my seat because I took it too far. I was doing too much. I had to check myself, like, bring it back.
Right.
Bring it back.
Today, we are going to be talking to a very, very, very wonderful lady. I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to meet her.
Yay!
Her name is Madeline McCray. She is just so incredible. We are going to be enjoying cocktails with her. Welcome to the show, Madeline.
Hello, Madeline. Woo! Thank you so much for having me, you ladies. First of all, you look gorgeous, number one. And those earrings, they just look like you were supposed to put them on when you rolled out of bed this morning.
Okay. All right. I'll be trying some new things. I'm embracing my future and trying different things and stepping a little bit out of my comfort zone
Yes.
Something that we should all be doing all the time.
So what makes you say that? You sound like you know what you're talking about when you say that.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but I will say that I think that, when we want to do things with our lives, right, you have to move out of the comfort zone, because that's a stuck position to be in. And, we can't thrive in that place, from that place, So, absolutely, I feel very strongly about trying new things, finding out what fits. Letting the instinct lead you, a little bit, you know, and taking baby steps if necessary, but always leaning in the direction of trying something new. If that's what's in your heart, you know, you got to go with your heart. Mm-hmm.
So what new things have you tried recently?
Oh, boy. Let's see. Well, I think that, you know, creatively, while during the quarantine, I put my foot in the writing of a television pilot, which was basically a new form for me, because I've written plays before and I write, right? I've written books, a book as well. And so I love writing, but I hadn't, you know, done anything towards creating or writing an entire pilot. And so going into that and taking, being in a writer's group and developing a first draft and the like, it's not that I was afraid to do it. It's just that it was a new thing to do. And I was really excited about it, you know, and I still am, although there's, you know, obviously there are drafts and drafts that have to be developed before it's ready to, you know, put in the hands of someone to take a look at and take it seriously. But, you know, that's exciting to me.
I call myself a reluctant writer. I used to, in my multi-hyphenates, put writer first, that I was a writer, director, producer, and now I've kind of left writer off the multi-hyphenates. Yeah, I'm taking it off the table because I don't know. I just have found that the process of rewriting, which you're talking about, it can be grueling. And I and writing within itself is a lonely thing to do. But you said you found a great group. That's great, because I hadn't been able to. It's a very lonely thing to do. How are you approaching that? Have you started the rewrites yet?
I have, well, in my head, you know, because the process is not all about, you know, what we put on paper in the beginning. It's literally like letting it settle and I realizing, because I've already given the script to people who I'm close to and that I know are sort of analytical, and they're also going to be very honest with me. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, I was looking for, you know, tell me what you don't understand. Tell me where you get lost in the script. That's important, because those are the adjustments that I know that I'm going to have to make. And so based on the feedback that I got, which I appreciate very much, I took like, okay, if, you know, if three people said the same thing, not even knowing what the other had, you know, mentioned to me, then I said, okay, this is an area that I really, really have to look at here. And so from that, I've been, you know, taking that into my spirit and realizing where I can expand the story or engage it in a different way to be more specific about certain things. So, so I've began the process, but I haven't started, you know, on paper. I've been doing some other things, developing a website and all the other great things that go along with, you know, living and, you know, creating, you know, revenue streams for yourself. So that type of thing I've been doing. And it's all in the creative spirit, though. It's all along the same lines for me.
That's awesome. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm curious. Now, you don't have to tell us everything. Take your sip. Sure. So I'm going to ask you so she can take her gulp, a.k.a. sip. Now, with the story that you are actually creating, I'm just curious, because according to your earrings and the colors you have on, you seem like a very bright, shining, beautiful woman, right?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just the energy I get from right here. Are you creating a drama? Are you creating something that's, you know, humorous with some comedy? Are you, I'm just curious as to what is the, what's the focus? Which direction is your story going into?
Yeah, it is drama, but of course, you know, with lots of levity, because the protagonist, you know, just because of her way of being, let's say, you know, will, you know, just brings about humor in it.
Okay.
But I do see it as an opportunity to create like a hybrid for the audience. So, yeah. And it's
dramedy.
Comedy, absolutely. There's a word. That's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds very like reality based.
Well, let me understand what you mean by reality. Give me an example.
Like, are you pulling from personal experiences?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Some definite personal experiences and, you know, and my imagination of situations that might have occurred but didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing for that space to use my imagination within the story. So, and that's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun.
Right, because you can do whatever you want, right?
You can. Absolutely, you can. Yeah.
You know, pulling from the personal is always, it's a thin line, you know, because sometimes you're, not when I write anyway, whenever that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be too autobiographical, you know, too much of my life in as part of the story. And it's also a fear that comes with revealing too much about my personal life, who I am behind the scenes. That's even part of the process that I went through with this show. Like, how much do I let people see that is actually who I am,
mm-hmm.
you know? And how much do I want people to know about me? How do you overcome those thoughts when they come to you? Because they come to us as artists.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking about that a few minutes ago, about having work that you don't show anyone,
mm-hmm.
that you've created because you have this part of it is an attachment to it. It's a part of you that
private.
You have, yeah, that's private, right? It's a part of your personal soul that you're bearing. And then the other part of it is fear as to how it's going to be received and whether people are going to accept what you've created. What do you do to get over that?
Well, for one thing, I think, and I'll get to the what I do in just in a second, is that I think that first and foremost, there's nothing new under the sun. And the very fact that we think that our experiences are something that, you know, that we need to cleave to. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to walk out and put all your business out in the street. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But I think that relating my experiences through story is a way of connecting with the audience. So I know as a woman that even if you're a younger woman than I am, for example, if you've been in love, then you and I have experienced love, right? If you have had your heart broken and you're 20 years old, I've had my heart broken several times, or mm-hmm. I've maybe broken a heart several times. So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, allowing ourselves to know that there's nothing to be ashamed of. I think that this is, you know, fear is shrouded in so many different ways, I think, you know, fear of being judged for one thing, right? And that brings us into a space of hiding. And then I believe very strongly that when we're hiding, that we don't step completely into our name. And that's kind of a trap, right? Because your greatness is in standing in your truth, mm-hmm. and owning it, mm-hmm. and being okay with it. Because I can guarantee that my truth is the truth of, you know, millions of other people. It's how we resonate with one another when we know that we share a common emotion, you know, and certain experiences. So that's one of the ways that I look at it, to not, you know, to not hold myself back from trying new things or, you know, presenting my work. I want to grow and I want to learn. That's the other aspect of it. You know, it's like the only way to really grow is to put it out there. Yeah, none of us, we all have vulnerabilities. I am no different than anyone else where that's concerned. But to be able to hear the feedback and you know, and say, okay, you know, this is a great thing. I already believed in it. I already know that it is. I just need to know where, you know, where this, you know, where it needs to be tightened up.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So, yeah, I think overcoming the fear is not so much about overcoming it. I think it's like walking in lockstep with it. and not allowing us to be held back by it.
Right.
I've always said that if I'm afraid to do something, mm-hmm. I should definitely do it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Then you
should
do it.
And
absolutely.
I should definitely do it.
Yeah.
And that has been the way that I make decisions on whether or not
don't
want to
do
I
it.
Should do something.
Let me get up and do it.
Oh, does it scare me to death? Mm-hmm. Then I should absolutely sign up to do that. And, you know, and with each time I've done that, there have been so many lessons that I have learned mm-hmm. from taking that leap of faith mm-hmm. and facing the fear that I have and just moving forward and moving through it and moving beyond it. And I'm hoping that people that are watching that have that fear, mm-hmm. not let it suffocate them and inspire. We're inspiring them to move forward. That's what I hope.
And I also think it's very important when you look at the circle of people you are around, because, you know, to some extent, you are the company you carry. So when you said, you know, you want your projects to be better, you know, you want an outsider looking in. And I always feel like, you know, you always want to be careful with who are you letting in to, you know, your creativity, you know, to certain areas that you are being transparent. You know, and just how they say everybody doesn't want the best for you. Everybody's not rooting for you. You know, you want to make sure you have that team of people that are telling you because they do want to see you persevere. They do want to see you succeed. You know, like just a team of people where you're all rooting for each other.
Right.
You know, I think that's very important to being more transparent and being able to tell these stories.
That's right. That's right. See, because I'm also an actor and I'm an actor first, you know. And I'll never forget the first time I stepped into an acting class at HB Studios downtown, grew up in Harlem, and no one in my family was involved in the entertainment industry, show business at all. So I broke that, you know, in the family. And when I walked into the class, literally it was just to audit the class. And I walked in and there was a scene going on and the student performing at the time laughed. And I remember going, oh my God, how in the world do you conjure up the nerve? Now, with laughter is something that we do every day, right? It's normal. We laugh all the time. So, but there I was saying, how do you do that? How does one do that in front of an audience for the sake of the audience, right? And knowing that from that, you know, that point forward, that this was the industry for me, because inside my body is a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And so the storyteller, everything that I do is storytelling. Everything you are doing is storytelling.
Right.
Whether it's that you're producing or you're directing or you're writing or you're acting, we're telling a story with our minds, our bodies, and our spirit, every single thing that we do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, look how many people, you know, when you talk about getting up and doing your show, right? Think about the people, how many people, it's like the numbers are too high, that may have thought about doing exactly what you're doing, but they haven't found the courage to do that, right? And they look at you and they go, wow, I wish I could. Well, you can. Just right. Put one foot in front of the other, or put that, you know, put pen to paper or whatever it is that you really want to accomplish, and take that first step, and you realize that it's not as scary as you think that it is.
Right.
I think that the other thing that when it comes down to fear that hopefully people will think about is, whose fear is it really? Mm-hmm. Are you afraid yourself, or is it that your environment taught you to be afraid of something, whether it's a parent or a friend or a teacher or someone else? You know, is it really your fear, or did you take on someone else's fear? So it is important to sit down and really examine what your fear is rooted in.
Right.
Where did it come from? And why does it have any control over you at this point in your life? Like, really sit down and think that through. Mm-hmm. I know when we were doing our pre-show interview, I talked a little bit about how during the quarantine, we all globally were forced into a space where we could do one or the other thing, lose your mind, or self-reflect, grow spiritually, and really figure out your life, where you want to go and what you want to do. It's a perfect time to say, I've been wanting to do this thing. And that if I'm lucky enough to get past this crisis that we're all sharing together, then I am going to do that. Nothing worse than going to your grave with your dreams in your belly. Nothing.
Yes. That shook me. But you know what?
That
you're so right. Nothing worse than going to your grave. You're so right.
With your dreams in your belly.
You're so right. Isn't that something else? Hello. That's a word.
Let's sit with that one for just a second. Wow. Mm-hmm.
No, you're so right.
I mean, it is so true. It is so true.
A lot of people.
A lot of people do. Sometimes you ask people what they really want, and they can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you take money out of the equation for a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this just as well, take money out of the equation. If money is not the necessity to work for on a daily basis, and you got $60 million in the trunk today, what do you do every day that is going to make you sincerely happy? What can you work towards on a daily basis? That is, you know, when they say when you love what you do, it's not work. What are you going to do with your hours and your days? What are you going to do? The things people would say, I mean, random stuff. Oh, man, I would probably own an ice cream parlor. I've always loved to make vanilla ice cream. You know, people think it's boring. But that's what I love to do. Something as simple as that. And it's like, well, wow. Like, well, why don't you get it started? Oh, no, I got the kids. I got a job. It's usually money that holds a lot of people back. And I think to some extent, it's also courage. Courage is something, too. So for me, I'm a stand-up comic. Actress and writer and all that stuff. And I, every time I face my fear when I get on stage every day for the past well over 10 years, that's a fear. Every day I get on stage, I'm facing a fear. And I had a friend who told me, she said, you know, Shatara, you're very lucky because you're living your dreams. And I said, yeah, I took it very lightly. Like, yeah, okay. She said, a lot of us today are doing what we need to do to survive, just to make it. We had dreams, we had to let go of it. We had families to attend to, you know, we have to take care of the roof over our heads. You know, dreams were something that we had to let go of. You're fortunate. You are living your dream. And here I am many, many years later, and I appreciate that she put that little pluck to the center of my forehead because I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that, you know. Like, I was really kind of taking it for granted that I'm jumping, doing what I want to do.
That's it. Know? Boy, let me tell you, you're a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Huh.
I mean, you know, I've done.
Well, then I had to ask her for $50, but what now? Just kidding.
Listen, that's a hard gig. I mean, you know, just it's really, you know, that takes some real cojones, you know, to get up there and because audiences, they, you come in and it's like, if you're new or whatever, it's like, okay.
Judgment time. Yeah. Make me laugh, right?
Make me laugh. And right. So I know that you know, I've never done stand-up comedy at all, but it is one of the things that maybe one day I will try, right? Because why not?
Yes, let's chat. I mean? Mm-hmm.
Within telling a you know, doing a monologue, something may come across funny, but that's not the same thing as the timing that is required to be a skilled funny stand-up comedian. Kudos to you, my
thank you, and kudos to you with your stories. Thank you.
I took a class once.
Uh-huh.
A stand-up comedian class.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. And that did not go well for me. It did not go well.
No.
I take acting classes and writing classes. I'm about to take another acting class.
Okay.
I do that because it's a practice that I've gotten into as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt that as a writer, the acting classes helped me process things to dialogue, you know, just process story and process the process of an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that it helps me with my writing.
Yes.
And it also helps me because I'm talking all the damn time to take an acting class.
Right.
But yeah, that was not easy. It was not easy. They give you a topic and then you're supposed to get up there and just make people laugh off this topic.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Thank you. But no, thank you. Yes. So yes, much respect to you. Much respect to both of you.
Yeah.
By the way, Madeline is, like she said, a phenomenal actor.
She's, I didn't say I was phenomenal.
I'm saying that.
Let her give you your roses. You just say thank you. Just say thank you.
I am saying that. And all around, just wonderful person. And thank you for supporting the Auntie Hour.
Yes.
And thank you for supporting me and Shatara, because that's just how I see it, and everybody that's in this room.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank
you. Let me know when you're going up, and I'll promote it on social media. Okay. You know, definitely here for that. Absolutely. Yes.
We need your support. We appreciate you.
So what you have in your glass there, we have to say our cheers. Again, thank you. A happy hour, Auntie Hour toast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much success to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Madeline.
Thank you, Madeline. And thank all of you for watching the Auntie Hour.
Yeah.
And spending time with us.
Spending time with us, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys are great. You ladies are great together. Just great together. I love
you. Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Till next time. Bye-bye. Toodles.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Get out of here.
See you later. Peace out.
Go.
Son.